It's Hobson of Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here today on this dark and gloomy Wednesday. It feels like Seattle. Now it kind of feels like how my brother feels. It's all good. I understand him. He's been dealing with snow and rain. Ben's up looking for something. I have no idea what he's doing. He's looking for headphones.
Pants.
He has head. He's looking for his headphones. That's smart. Got to have those when you come on. It's funny. They put a Bubba Wallace video up behind us here in the studio, which is fantastic. We'll have him on here in just a minute. We're going to talk Tennessee football with him. Talk about his routine, everything that he goes through, getting ready for a race. We're going to discuss a lot of things today. I'm excited to have him on, and it's been a long time coming. He's busy, and I understand that. It does happen. So you're hooked in now, correct? You're good to go. Are those your headphones?
These are actually John's headphones that I took real quick.
Are they really?
Is my mic even on? Can I just not hear
it? Okay,
anything?
Good.
Bubba just ignored my call. So.
Just ignored your call?
We'll try him again.
I had to turn myself up.
That's good. I'm glad that he ignored your call.
I hope John doesn't get mad that I took his headphones. I needed them.
No, it happens. So are we ever going to get any sunshine here in the next couple days?
Probably not. I mean,
it's literally every time that I see the rain, it reminds me of where my little brother lives. I've never been there, but it reminds me of Seattle.
Yeah.
It never gets nice here.
Nice,
but I'm saying over the last 8 days, it's
Knoxville
just been rough.
Is a beautiful city, almost, you know, 365.
Besides Chapman Highway, which is death race.
Besides the week after Florida, where it always rains when we lose.
It happens.
And
man.
Apparently the week after Kentucky basketball, where it rains every day after you lose.
It goes on to the different fact. We're going to get to this Jerry Kuehl stuff too. Bubba's, I think, ignoring our phone calls, so we'll have him on here in a minute. Your thoughts on, just call him back in like 2 minutes. Your thoughts on Major Applewhite going from, you know, he leaves Houston thinking he's going to end up with a better job, and now all of a sudden he's stuck on Alabama's analyst staff. How big of a demotion do they have tonight? Yeah, you can call it back now. He's ready. But how big of a demotion do you think that is from Houston all the way to Alabama's coaching rehab center now?
I mean, is it really? I mean, Houston, upper tier, Group 5 job, obviously, but like, is it really that big of a demotion?
He'll still make a couple mil from Houston.
He'll still be making money, and he'll still probably have a head coaching job in a year, maybe less.
And then Butch Jones kind of screwed over Tennessee by not taking anywhere that would knock into that buyout, which he's smart.
Yeah.
I think he's smart, actually.
Well, yeah.
For not.
Yeah, if he goes and takes a bigger job and gets more money, then he gets less from us.
Right.
And, you know, like, obviously he's still going to get, like, supplemental, but, you know, you want the big payout.
No, I agree with him. So it tends to happen. He'll play out like that. We'll talk more about that, especially with Nick Bromberg at 215. But now we're going to go on. We're going to talk to he's a drummer. God, that picture's tripping me out behind me. Race car driver and wonderful family member. Bubba Wallace joins me now. Bubba, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
What's up, Trey? What's going on?
Nothing much, buddy. How's your off day going? I know yesterday you were up at the shop and getting ready to go to Atlanta this week. How's all that playing out for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a short week. We got Atlanta's always a busy one for us. Coca-Cola headquarters is down there, so we go down tomorrow and spend some time with the Coke people, and so looking forward to that. But yeah, everything's good. Old rainy day here in Charlotte, so not much going on.
That's cool. Hey, man, so look, people kind of want to know just a little bit, how did you get involved with Tennessee sports? I mean, how did you become a Tennessee fan? I got 3 DMs in the last 10 minutes asking, why are you a Tennessee fan? And I think people would like to know this answer.
Well, I think it was a hazing technique by you and
oh, God.
The family.
Oh, man.
You know, waterboarding, and, you know, I was forced to be involved.
So you can go ahead and confirm that Trey isn't actually War Eagle Wallace?
Oh. Yeah, he for sure is not.
Man, that's some stuff right there, dude. Wow, that kind of played into the bad part of the interview. I didn't think we'd go there. That is interesting. Okay, so Bubba, breaking it down real quick. I know you don't get to go to a lot of Tennessee football games just because of racing schedule and how that plays out during the year, but whenever you do, and sometimes you might have a Saturday to race, like, talk to us about the Tennessee game this past year in Charlotte and everything you did in a span of 12 hours to be able to make it to watch Tennessee play West Virginia.
Yeah, so that was obviously big. We always look at the schedule to figure out if we can make one or two. It's tight now racing on Sundays. You know, we're usually busy on Saturdays. So
we good?
It was nice to be able to get down there. I had qualifying or something at Darlington on Saturday, and as soon as I finished qualifying, I hightailed it up to Charlotte and made it there with a good amount left in the second quarter, so that was nice. But unfortunately, didn't get the result that we wanted, but all in all, it was a good time.
All right, Ben, fire away. Well, okay, so we were talking about this early with the basketball team, Bubba, and my question is, okay, so in your spare time, and you've seen how good Tennessee basketball has been this year compared to, let's say, years past, and now they're looking at it, you know, they were number one in the nation for 4 weeks, and now they're sitting in number five. How much of this team do you actually get to watch, and how much do you enjoy interacting with folks talking about basketball?
It was fun. I think it's a little harsh that we fell all the way back to fifth. I mean, geez, come on.
I know.
That was a little tough there. But it's good to be able to catch some basketball games as well. I was down in Daytona while the game was going on against Kentucky, and some fans, actually a lot of fans, were actually watching that game, and they didn't even have a Tennessee flag or a Kentucky flag up, so it was good to see that. So I'd stop by some fans' motorhomes when they weren't there to check out the game, just sit outside their motorhome and watch. We were touring the campground, so unfortunate loss, but our season's been awesome. A lot of people are asking, have we switched to a basketball school now? And I'm like, it looks like it, but I'm not giving up yet on our football program. It's got some work to do, but it's good to see us, you know, back on top in something. I know our basketball program, either men's or women's, has been solid for a numerous amounts of years, but to be number one, it's for a little bit, it was cool. We just got some work to do to get back up top now.
Yeah, but this is Brandon. I got some questions. Admittedly, I'm not as big of a NASCAR fan as I wish I was now that we have you on. But I was going to ask you, like, what is your off-season workout? Like, what do NASCAR drivers do to get ready for the season?
Drink.
And also, like, when you're driving 500 Dip. Miles, do you, like, zone out ever? Because I drive 20 minutes to work, and I get here, and I don't know how I got here. So do you ever zone out, or are you locked in for the full 3 hours or so of the race?
Well, when you get wrecked out before the first stage ends at Daytona and you and you cruise around for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, it's pretty tough to stay focused.
Right.
You know, I can't say almost, you know, fell asleep, but almost fell asleep at Daytona this year.
Okay, follow-up to that, too. Getting involved in wrecks, like where you do it, driving 200 miles per hour, is it more luck or skill, or is it just kind of just a toss-up, 50-50, as far as avoiding wrecks goes?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, some wrecks, depending on where you're at. I know it's super tough, you know, when people start wadding up cars at Daytona and Talladega or plate races. It's pretty tough to get the car slowed down, but if you have the certain amount of time and you're paying attention to what's going on, then you can avoid it. But sometimes you're just along for the ride and you think you've done everything right, and then you get cleaned out. So definitely some skill involved as well. But yeah, you just gotta have a little bit of both.
All right, Bubba, you tell us about, like, you got any, like, favorite tracks? Like, is there a favorite place, a favorite city you go to? Like, what's your top dog place to go?
That's tough. You know, I love going out. You know, we go hit the West Coast here next week after Atlanta. We go to Vegas, Phoenix, and California. Those are always fun. Just because it's a different venue. I mean, Vegas is Vegas. It's Sin City. There's, you know, there's everything out there. It's a good time. You stay on the Strip. We usually stay at the Cosmo, so we have a good time there. And then you go to Phoenix, and you get to go hiking and stuff. So I'd say, like, the West Coast is probably the coolest part.
Yeah, Bubba, too, I was going to ask you, like, I heard a Denny Hamlin interview, and they asked him where the worst drivers are in the entire country, and you as well being a professional driver, who better to tell? Where do you think the worst drivers in America are? Since I feel like everyone says their
Alabama.
State. See, everyone says they're in state, but what would you say?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to go with, you know, people here in Charlotte and Concord, just because when it rains like it is now, they don't know how to drive. And it's like they've never seen rain before, or especially when it's snow, all hell breaks loose. And it's just a madhouse on the streets. So, but I think it's kind of fair for everybody to pick their own state,
right,
just because they're in it every day and they get to witness it. Like our 77 over here in Huntersville to Mooresville on 77 is the worst ever. There's no wrecks. There's nothing. There's just a lot of construction going on, but there's dead stop traffic from 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. the next day. It's ridiculous.
I was going to say, too, how difficult is it for you to drive on the interstate compared to driving 200 miles per hour? How hard is it to drive 55?
Yeah, does that get boring?
Yeah, like, it's got to be boring.
It is. It's very boring. It's tough. Like, I'm super impatient on the roads, and Amanda, my girlfriend, she kind of says it's a turnoff, but I like to get to where I'm going. I don't like to waste time, okay? I mean,
that's a sign of a winner.
If there's a scenario where there's two lanes at a stoplight, there's seven cars in one, and there's one car in the other, which lane are you going to go in? Are you going to stay in the lane that already has seven cars in front of you, or are you going to get over and get behind the car that has one?
That's true.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I'm gonna get in the one.
I'm gonna bump the one out of the way with my luck in driving.
I've got one more.
Seven cars, Trey. So that makes sense.
Man, stop it! Don't get up my wreck history, dude. Hey, listen. Okay, so we've seen this community. We've seen Tennessee fans. You know, everybody wants to have a connection with a different sport, and you've kind of seen it. You've seen how Tennessee fans kind of get behind you in everything that you do. And they clamor for it, they want it, and they want somebody to root for. But just how you've grown up with it for so long, and I just kind of like, what's your overall take when it comes to Tennessee athletics? The fun that you've either had over the years, and I know football's been rough, but also to see that support come from fans when it comes to what you're trying to do for a living nowadays, how much does that mean to you and the influences that have become in your life?
No, it means a lot. To have, you know, something outside of your world, your work, something you're passionate about. And, you know, for me, I have a couple things, like you said, drumming and sports, college football, college basketball, Tennessee athletics. And when you start to talk about those things and people see that, you know, they can relate to you and connect with you on those levels, it carries a long way with them. And then they'll start to pull for you. They could not even be a NASCAR fan, but they see another athlete or somebody, a social influencer, you know, cheering for their same collegiate team, it makes sense. Like, oh man, this is cool. So it's always fun, you know, gaining new fans. You know, I'll tweet out. It seems like I'll tweet out a good chunk about, you know, Tennessee athletics, and every other day or every day, it's like, oh, I did not know you were a Tennessee fan. I'm a new fan now. So it's like you're always gaining fans by doing that. So it's important to, you know, always keep your interest and your other passions out there, and let you connect with other people through that.
Bubba, I got asked to ask you this. I'm going to ask you, who's your biggest rival right now? Look, I watched the Gordon Earnhardt documentary the other night. I think I texted the group about it and thought it was pretty cool. But, I mean, if you had to break it down, I know you're buddies with a lot of them, but if you kind of had to break it down, does this thing still fly back to Denny from last year? I mean, are the rivalries that rampant right now in NASCAR, or is it something you guys kind of tame and you handle it in private more or less than on the camera nowadays? You still there, buddy?
Yeah, sorry, I went through a bad spot. You got me?
Yeah, I got you, man. So I was going back.
Yeah.
Did you hear my question?
Yeah, I got your question. I think, you know, right now I have no rivalries. Obviously, you get through Daytona.
Right. He's going through a bad area.
Yeah, bad area.
No, that's fine. Call him back real quick for me, Brandon.
He's still on.
Here's the real question.
Yeah.
Growing up, who won more fights?
I don't know if he's still on with us right now.
Oh, you're 8 years older than him?
Still.
Oh, Bubba's still with us. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Don't answer that question about growing up fighting. I don't.
Yeah. I won't talk about the jet ski accident.
Oh.
Whoa.
Dang it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dang,
it sounds like we got a story for 145.
Right quick.
Yeah.
Back to the rivalries. I don't have any right now. The biggest rivalry is with myself.
That's true. That's a good one. Did you want to hear that for a minute? Bubba, break down real quick the jet ski story. Ben's clamoring over here to hear this damn thing, and I'm going to have to tell it off air.
Okay, so we're down in Trey's parents' house, my Uncle Robert's house in Alabama, down in Mobile, down in the marsh, and we found, I don't know when we found this.
That was your uncle that found it.
Yes.
You just found a jet ski?
No.
Oh.
No. We had jet skis, but like through the marsh, we ended up making this racetrack. And like we're back there riding with alligators and stuff, and it's sketchy. But we ended up making laps, and we brought their boat out there, and the water is like not even a foot deep, and we get the boat out there, and we're all out there having a good time. Have two jet skis, and we're kind of racing. Trey takes off in front of me, and I count to maybe five or six, and then I go. And just because you couldn't really run together because of the wake.
Oh, you were even giving him head starts back then.
Yes, exactly. So I get around this corner, that's a blind corner, and there's Trey sitting there. He had spun out on the jet ski, and I'm coming at him head on. I don't have enough time to turn off, so I hit him head on, and luckily it launches, like it acts like a ramp. I shoot up 40 feet in the air, and I thought I had killed Trey because last thing I saw was him screaming, "Oh, my God!" And so I land, I don't know, maybe 20 yards away, and I land okay, and Trey is off the jet ski, on his back in the water, screaming, "Dear Lord, baby Jesus, he's dead." And I'm like, it's obviously a horrible event at the time. We're freaking out. Jet skis won't run. My uncle and my dad are on the boat, not close to us at all. They had, like I said, in a foot or maybe a foot and a half of water that we're having to get everything out back to the deep end. And so we have to push the jet skis because they wouldn't fire back up. And there's alligators around us, so it's a madhouse. So we get back to the house. We leave that day. Me and my dad go back home, and they go to the emergency room. Man. And Trey has the scratch the size of you rip a dollar bill in half, and the smallest you can make a dollar bill, that's the size of his scratch, okay? And you would think that his leg was amputated.
Wow.
Man, I was scared to death, dude. You came around that corner going at least 35. All of a sudden, I'm standing on top yelling, "Hey, Bubba, Bubba, watch out, watch out." And then the jet ski does hit me. So, and I will have to admit, the jet skis were sold immediately after this traumatic event. Yeah. And that doesn't even take into the fact that when Bubba was growing up, Bubba used to race bandoleros and go-karts. My little brother completely wrecked his bandolero, I think it was, at a racetrack down in Theodore.
Yeah, Sunny South, so we just
wreck Bubba's stuff. That's what we do. When he comes in town, we just wreck his things.
One last question for you, Bubba.
Ask away.
With all this coming up, with given Trey's driving record in Knoxville, he was here all of 6 days before he got in a wreck because it was raining.
Jesus.
Do you think driving ability is like all genetics? Like, did you hit the genetic, like, inside
lottery?
Straight pull on the river card to pull this out of the hat? Or do you think Trey's just not put in the hours of work that it takes to be a, you know, adequate driver?
I think you definitely have to work at it. Every skill you have to work at. And, you know, Trey works hard at the radio stuff, but the driving just doesn't come natural to him. And I think I'm getting a resume from my uncle, his dad, of how many cars he's wrecked. So it's about 3 pages long right now. So, yeah.
Man, it tends to play out like that, dude. Hey, last couple questions, buddy, and I'll let you go. I know you got a busy day, man. But getting down to Atlanta and getting the Daytona, always a tough track. It's always a crapshoot. Whoever's going to win that thing. I mean, there were drivers up front that probably shouldn't have been up front running in the top 10, and now all of a sudden, you know, we see how that ending went with Denny winning. But starting off in Atlanta this weekend, man, how much fun do you honestly get to have? You know, when you strap into a race car, and a lot of people don't understand, when you go down there, you're going to work. That's your job, yeah. You know, and it's a lot of fan interaction, and that's a part of it. But how much fun do you actually get to have when you strap in and you sit back and realize what you get to do for a living?
I mean, the King, you know, obviously I raced with Richard Petty, so he's got a lot of stories, and he always says, driving, that part is not work. It's the other stuff, the media and entertaining and all that stuff, that's the work. So as soon as you climb in, it's like, ah, finally, I get to relax and go out. And now I'm about to drive at 200 miles an hour, but I can relax while I do that. So, you know, I get to do a lot of cool things, see a lot of cool people, and I love what I do and don't take it for granted. But, you know, getting to drive, there's nothing like it. And actually, I had a lot of fun at this Speedway race before our day, you know, came short. You know, it's just a blast to be able to go out there and put it all on the line for a couple hours, get out, and do it again the next weekend over and over again for 36 weeks. So it's pretty special.
Last question for you, go out, man. Is it better to watch a race from the stands? Or, you know, I like to watch it just from the pit where I can pace back and forth. But stands or pit road, if you got to watch a race? And you get to watch some.
Yeah, it's all on what you want to see. It's all on vantage point. Pit road, you get to see up close and personal strategy. You get to see the pit stops and everything going on. So it's up to you what you want to see. If you sit in the stands, you just see the whole race from start to finish. You can see all the wrecks. If you're sitting on pit road, all you see is 5 or 6 seconds of us passing by, and you don't see us again until we come back by the next lap. So it's all kind of what your preference is. Pit road is always where it's a little bit more amped up, a little bit more hyped, just because there's so much going on. There's so many people down there, and you're right there next to the cars. When we come in for a pit stop, it's probably one of the coolest things you'll see.
That's fantastic, dude. You got to get up here and check out a basketball game. Maybe Tennessee will get placed in Columbia, South Carolina. Maybe you can catch out some March Madness here soon. But definitely need to get up here for basketball. Or maybe go through the spring football drills again, like you did a couple years ago.
Oh, I need to. Yeah, I need to. I need to work on my my receiving skills, because that was pretty horrible with Josh Dobbs there.
There you go, man. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us, cuz. I really appreciate it, man. And don't forget to text your cousin Kalen back. You hadn't talked to him in 3.5 weeks. Have a great day, buddy. I appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
I love y'all.
Bye, buddy. Love you, man. Bubba Wallace, fantastic interview. Always fun. He's just down-to-earth dude, man. It was good having him on, and that was a little inside joke. My cousin Kalen likes to text him a lot, and Kalen, he will never respond to him. So nice little running joke.
I love inside jokes. One day I hope to be part of one.
You are part of one right now. You just don't know it. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.